Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Coming to you from an undisclosed broadcast location. One voice, delivering truth and pain. Presented by Guns.com. Trusted by millions of gun owners nationwide. This is Lock and Load with Bill Frady.
And from the Guns.com radio studio, this is Lock and Load.
You know, I used to actually enjoy the Olympics. I don't enjoy them now, and I definitely haven't enjoyed this one. I've looked at a little bit of it, but, I mean, I've watched a couple of these young athletes, and, I mean, this should be about them and their efforts and their training and all the things they're trying to do. Without a doubt, you, of course, want to be, fly the flag, patriotism, all those fun things. But some of this stuff has gotten ridiculous. I mean, the coaches, the adults in charge of these young people, and of course, the politics. So let's look at young Eileen Gu. She's learning the hard way what comes from shilling for the Chi-Coms. Because things are not all bonbons and shark's fin soup for her. She is a genuine, she's 18 years old. She is a genuine phenomenon as far as skiing. But she's been thrown out there as a propaganda pal for the 2022 Olympics by the Red Chinese government following her decision to ski for China instead of America. And it seems the Chinese themselves on their meager internet outlets are questioning why the San Francisco-born and bred Golden Girl is being shoved in front of them as a role model, given that she had so many more opportunities than they had as Chinese people stuck in China. And the whole thing is giving the Chi-Coms the perfect excuse for censoring their posts, if not rounding them up into jails. I'm pretty sure Eileen didn't know this was going on. But if she did, way to go. But according to the Wall Street Journal, here's how bad it is. No sooner had Gu won her first medal, a surprise gold in the freestyle skiing big air event, than one viral online article posted a pointed question in its headline, "What does Eileen Gu's success have to do with ordinary people?" That appeared to strike a chord with readers and to have unnerved government censors. The article, published on China's ubiquitous WeChat messaging app by an education-focused blog, widely followed by elite Chinese parents called Nuli Xiu, loosely translated as slave society, pointed out the lack of any concrete evidence to show that Gu had, in fact, renounced her U.S. citizenship and attributed her success to her unique upbringing, which combined the freedom and well-rounded education offered by the U.S. and the rigors of China's examination-oriented system. After that post went viral, it was quickly taken down by WeChat's owner, the internet giant Tencent Holdings Limited, sparking a familiar game of whack-a-mole on China's internet. Each time the article was taken down, it was republished by other blogs and news outlets, including Caxin, a respected Chinese financial news outlet known for its often daring reporting. Some readers circulated new links and settled defiance to the apparent censorship, only to see them disappear hours later. Then there's this. The Chinese asking if Gu is any, sort of role model, given her American life of privilege, which is completely off limits to Chinese people in China. Zhang Kailing, a blogger with more than 140,000 followers on Xiaohongshu, a platform that is often likened to Instagram, directly addressed the anxiety some Chinese parents feel when comparing themselves to the Olympian's mother, Yan Gu, a Beijing-born, U.S.-educated former Wall Street trader and venture capitalist credited with overseeing Gu's Trans-Pacific upbringing. They asked, do you have the money to send your child to private school? Do you have the time to drive 8 hours on weekends to take her skiing? If she falls, do you have the money to pay for such expensive physiotherapy? She said, we belong to different worlds. In another widely viewed video, Chen Xiaoyu, a popular cultural commentator, declared herself an admirer of Gu, but also argued the athlete shouldn't be held up as a model for female success in China, saying that the resources available to Gu weren't attainable for most people. And then there's Gu's own naivete, telling Chinese people to just go break Chinese law to get around Chinese censors, as she does, highlighting her own privileged status in a let-them-eat-cake way. Gu also invited derision from Chinese internet users for what was perceived as a privileged response to a question aimed at her on Instagram regarding internet controls in China. Why can you use Instagram and millions of Chinese cannot? A user named Chili Chan asked Gu on the social media platform, which is blocked in China. Gu replied, anybody can download a VPN. It's literally free on the App Store, referring to virtual private networks, which let internet users circumvent censorship and protect their privacy. VPNs are technically banned against Chinese law, and people have been arrested for using them to bypass the internet controls there, though enforcement isn't always consistent. And most visibly in the case of China-based government officials and state media journalists who regularly use VPNs to post on Twitter and other platforms. Online news coverage about Gu's retort itself was later removed from China's internet. And Gu's agent didn't respond to a request for comment on that matter. So, Chinese people know what happens when they break Chinese law. And when Gu does, and they know it's not the same thing. No wonder they resent this. And what it shows is that this young lady has gotten herself into an ugly tangle by taking the Chi-Com side over the American one. And that has to come as a surprise, because here she is, whipping up resentment and censorship among the Chinese public, who don't take kindly to the government shoving her in their faces as an impossible role model for them. She's also learning the hard way about acting as an American in China and finding a way around the censored press, which hasn't endeared her to her Chi-Com commissars. Some say she's made this bad choice because of the lucrative Chinese endorsements that she gained. And others think it was because of the value she learned in her home in far-left San Francisco. She benefited from access to American ski slopes and training, but chose to get her medal for China. Olympic rules state that one must compete under one's citizenship. And if such rules were followed, she would have to give up her American citizenship, given that China does not recognize dual citizenship. There's no sign that she has done this. We doubt she has. She can't continue to live in the States and will attend Stanford University next fall because citizenship to her does not matter. She's a real multi-culti example of San Francisco-style wokester learning. America's a racist hellhole, just like her San Francisco wokester teachers told her, right? One political system's just as good as another, right? That little phenomenon of people, including her parents, moving away from China instead of toward it, but that's an irrelevant detail. Such is the logic of a traitor, which is what writer Amber Athey calls this. She's finding out the hard way just what being China's little running dog is bringing. She may not care about the people being censored or the people being rounded up as a result of her privileged status and laurels, but it's quite likely she's beginning to feel the heat. And she's likely to get into more trouble as the Chinese come to dislike her for her fealty to the old men of the Forbidden City. And while she's unlikely to end up as an American-born Tokyo Rose in the States, well, she's going to find herself very, very likely unpopular in two countries. And that is unfortunate. This is what happens when adults take and indoctrinate young people instead of letting them educate themselves, develop critical learning, make their own decisions at a certain point. I mean, this girl's 19 years old. She's legally an adult, but she's a prop. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
show, we know there's no such thing as a fair fight. And we bring the unfair advantage that is the 2011 platform.
Dominate.
At Staccato, we know the most important gun you own is the one that you're carrying when you're facing that threat to life and freedom.
Win.
We want you to enter that objective confident that you are carrying the best gun in the gunfight. No compromise. No sacrifice. Staccato2011.com. Stand ready to face down the darkness with 2011.
Excess Sights makes the brightest, fastest night sights in any light. Are you truly prepared for a high-stress self-defense situation at any time, day or night? Improve your self-defense capabilities with Excess's Tritium Night Sights. From big dots to three dots, Excess has options that deliver bright and easy-to-see sights in low light, bright light, or at the range. Use promo code LNL21 for 10% off your purchase. Get on target faster in any light with Excess Sights.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be just like Cal Ripken. It's definitely humbling to know that now people are calling me a hero. Instead of finding the IED with my metal detector, the IED found me first, and that resulted in double above-knee amputations. It's hard to describe the feeling of meeting somebody that you've always wanted to be like. There are people now that are looking up to you for their inspiration and to be their role model.
Visit saluteheroes.org to learn more.
The first 10 amendments to our country's Constitution were adopted in 1791. The first of these broadly protects the rights of free speech and free press. Free speech means the free and public expression of opinions without censorship, interference, and restraint by the government. 231 years later, free speech across America is under chronic and insidious attack. GCN is under attack. Your freedom is currently under siege from those who do not want you to know the truth. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to continue telling you the truth. Would you like to join us? If so, please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com. From there, you can learn more about what's happening. You may click follow, share, give, and pray. I'm Vincent Finelli.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
The Guns.com radio studio. This is Lock and Load. Sometimes a list of places you can't take a gun makes some kind of sense. Sometimes. And while I disagree with anywhere being off limits, I do get the kind of thinking involved in some of these places. Courthouses, for example, make sense, even if it's a wrong choice. But in some places, and I'm in one of those places, I found this out the other day, hospitals are on that list. I had to spend a lot of time in a hospital last week, and not for me,
I was in the waiting room, and guns were not allowed. And I could not carry my weapon in. They have a sort of a subtle set of detectors there that if you weren't noticing. And if they're not allowed in my state, if you get caught carrying one in a place where it says not allowed, then, well, guess what? You're not allowed to carry a gun anymore. So you have to honor it. In Vermont, an op-ed was published titled, Connor Casey, Why Wouldn't We Keep Guns Out of Hospitals? It includes this little bit. This week, the governor will have the opportunity to choose action over inaction. S-30, the legislation currently sitting on his desk, is a small but meaningful step to save lives. Banning firearms in medical settings is the very least we can do to protect healthcare workers who have done so much to protect us over the course of this pandemic. I love the way they play that game because, you know, they've fired so many of those guys and everything else. But they go on. Apparently being in a hospital is a crazy place because hospitals, according to them, can be chaotic, emotionally charged environments, and having guns present only increases the likelihood of a violent episode. But the very question that starts this is problematic. Why wouldn't we keep guns out of hospitals? That's not how you frame a constitutionally protected right. It's the wrong line of thinking from the very start. Yeah, hospitals can be chaotic and emotionally charged. But do you know, you know what you don't see in the many states that have made hospitals off limits? Shootings. Despite the emotionally charged environment, people just aren't gunning down hospital staff for failing to save their loved ones. It simply isn't a thing. And when you're talking about restricting someone's rights, you need to make a compelling case that it has to be done. And I'm going to disagree with it regardless, but the standard has to be set so high as to prevent every other right from being infringed on simply because it's fun. Libel and slander laws, for example, cause harm to individuals and their reputations, which may well make it more difficult for them to get work, hold a job, or a host of other things. It's not a case of why not restrict free speech. There's a serious reason why we draw that particular line. But carrying a gun in a hospital isn't like that. There's no compelling interest in disarming anybody there, especially when there are plenty of good reasons someone might, none of which represent an issue for anyone else. So it's not a question of why not restrict it. It's, you know, more why should you? Because at the end of the day, there's no reason to do so. The author's unfounded fear isn't justification for restricting a basic civil liberty, and nor should it be. And if so, I would argue that his ability to write op-eds should be restricted because he's talking scary rhetoric that could restrict my ability to protect my family. And I won't, you know. One reason is that I support the Constitution. Another is that I'm not a quivering coward who thinks the world should revolve around me and ban anything I might wet my pants over. But this is just me. And as for the rest of the op-ed, it's in support of closing the so-called Charleston loophole, which isn't a loophole. The Charleston loophole that they're referring to is, in fact, the three-day waiting period that you have to wait if you don't pass a background check instantly. And this is a check on the state's power. Simply a way to keep the government from denying people the ability to buy a gun by delaying background checks indefinitely. A more productive way to prevent another Charleston is to support making background checks faster and more efficient so there wouldn't be delays. But when you're talking about a guy who says, why can't we keep guns out of hospitals, you're asking a little bit much. Now, right now, here in the United States, we don't have too much happening in hospitals. The problem is that in other countries, that has been demonstrated to us how difficult one of those situations can be. A hospital siege, for example, is horrific. because now you've got a whole lot of, whole lot of people that can't move. A whole lot of people confined to a bed. Maybe they've been operated on. Maybe they're going to be operated on. Maybe they've had a heart attack. Maybe they're about to have a heart attack. So many reasons why somebody cannot move. And what do you have? I'll tell you what I saw. Okay, I'm going to tell you what I saw. The hospital that I was at, which is a very nice facility. You had a bunch of unarmed guys with badges. They were very articulate and very nice. Some young, some old, all professional. They would lead you to if you told them where you were going and you didn't know where to go, they would escort you there to make sure you got to the right place in the right time. It was a beautiful thing. However, if somebody came bursting through those beautiful plate glass windows, which all of the entryways were big, wide open glass facades, if you will. I saw nothing in place to defend it. Now, there are some people that would say, well, listen, you shouldn't have to have guns in hospitals. I fully agree, you shouldn't. Except there is the way things ought to be, and there's the way things are. And this this particular venue, while it was beautiful, it took very good care of my loved one. At the same time, it was completely wide open. And I don't know about you, but I'm getting sort of tired of certain places. I carry a gun everywhere I go. Everywhere I go. And when they say I can't carry one in and it's under force of law, I will leave it in the car. But that's not doing anybody any good if something bad happens. So it's not about why wouldn't you restrict guns going into a hospital. The question has to be, why would you? Because you don't have the problems yet that you're trying to guard against. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
In the 21st century, the handgun has become the preeminent self-defense tool. At ZNA Precision, we specialize in taking your weapon to the highest degree of functionality possible. With a complete array of goods and services specializing in red dot sight installation, ZNA Precision will help you realize the most effective handgun the first time. If you need slide milling installation or accessories, go to chpws.com. ZNA Precision. Welcome to the Boom Squad.
For 25 years, Aero Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Aero Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Aero Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders.
Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th,
Aero Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
The buildup of troops at the Ukrainian border continues. U.S. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin said that Russia continues building up their military presence, including in Crimea, in Belarus, and in the Black Sea, in ways that brings Russian troops right to NATO's doorstep. And the U.S. Ambassador for the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, Michael Carpenter, said that Russia has massed almost 190,000 personnel in that area, and that this is the most significant military mobilization in Europe since
since the Second World War. The city of Austin has agreed to pay a combined $10 million to two demonstrators who were injured by police during the 2020 racial justice protest that took place in that city. The two protesters, Justin Howell and Anthony Evans, were injured when police used less lethal ammunition as a form of crowd control during the protest that took place after the deaths of George Floyd and Michael Ramos, who was killed by an Austin police officer. This is USA Radio News. The U.S. Coast Guard said it seized thousands of pounds of cocaine and marijuana worth over $1 billion. The drugs were headed for Port Everglades in Florida. Crews from nine U.S. ships seized 54,500 pounds of cocaine and 15,800 pounds of marijuana worth over $1.6 billion in the international waters of the Eastern Pacific Ocean and Caribbean Sea. The Coast Guard said this is the greatest amount of contraband ever taken during an Eastern Pacific patrol. Charges are pending. As some of the biggest U.S. employers are lifting their mask mandates for vaccinated workers, other companies are going even farther and discarding requirements that employees get any COVID-19 shots. Adidas told U.S. workers that it no longer requires that they get vaccinated against the virus. In confirming their new policy, one of the world's largest sporting goods manufacturers cited a recent U.S. Supreme Court ruling that blocked the Biden administration's vaccine or test rule for companies with at least 100 workers. This is USA Radio News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
The Guns.com radio studio. This is Lock and Load. You know, right now the federal government is involved in a bunch of things that they have no business being involved in. And they've done a bunch of things that have caused a bunch of issues, driven all the prices up and everything. You know, I mean, first thing Biden did when he took office was shut down the Keystone Pipeline. I mean, I don't know if you remember or not, but as soon as Trump came into office, everything jumped for the better. Stock market went up, prices went down, because they knew this was a pro-business president, and that all he wanted to do was to do things that, I don't know, were constitutional. Now, of course, the leftists, which, don't let them call themselves liberals in front of you. They've stolen a term. The leftists have, especially the gun control activists, they're disappointed and frustrated with the lack of action on their issue coming from the White House. And I'm pretty sure the White House noticed them as well, because just a few days later, Attorney General Merrick Garland, instead of taking the hounds off of parents and, not liking what their school board was doing and not calling parents domestic terrorists, he decided to announce a new lawsuit against the state of Missouri over its Second Amendment Preservation Act, which was signed into law by Governor Mike Parson last year. Now, mind you, these guys allow sanctuary cities and sanctuary states. But take a look. I can't say what I think this is. Let's just say this guy has got they're big. They're really big. He said, in a statement after the suit was filed in Kansas City Federal Court, this act impedes criminal law enforcement operations in Missouri.
The United States will work to ensure that our state and local law enforcement partners are not penalized for doing their jobs to keep our community safe. In the meantime, we have the open border. The open border. And we have, yes, there's plenty of people that are coming that are trying to run away from violence and all this other stuff. But one, they're not being checked for COVID, which that was a big deal, wasn't it? That was a big deal. Oh, it's not a big deal now, though. You say it's only 1% fatal for people that are really, really sick anyway or declining anyway. They would probably die anyway. Oh. What about those MS-13 members that come through and these drug cartel members that come through? What about those guys, though? Now, you could be doing something about that, but instead you're going after Missouri for passing a law that preserves one of the Bill of Rights, number two, to be exact. The Biden administration officials had threatened to file a lawsuit for months, and they first outlined their stance in support of a state case brought last year by local officials in the St. Louis area who claimed that the law hindered them from addressing the recent spike in gun violence. And I'm going to take some issue with the New York Times framing here because the Biden administration hasn't spent the past few months threatening a lawsuit. In fact, the DOJ could have filed a suit long before now, but have been content to support the St. Louis-based lawsuit right up until this week. They were waiting to see what would happen because surely this would be taken care of because they have a Sorosian DA. Well, the suit came 2 days after lawyers in the Missouri case began wrapping up their closing arguments before the state Supreme Court. And Republicans were quick to suggest the Justice Department suit was intended to preempt a possible loss in the state court. Attorney General Eric Schmidt of Missouri, a Republican, said after their disastrous arguments in the Missouri Supreme Court last week, the Biden Department of Justice has now filed yet another partisan lawsuit that seeks to attack Missourian Second Amendment rights. Now, Mr. Schmidt said, make no mistake, the law is on our side in this case, and I intend to beat the Biden administration in court. And Mr. Schmidt also recently joined a crowded field of conservatives running for the Senate seat, soon to be vacated by longtime Senator Roy Blunt. Now, there's no doubt that since the passage of the Second Amendment Preservation Act, some Missouri police departments have chosen to pull back or curtail working with federal agencies, professing concern that officers could end up being sued for enforcing federal gun control law. Well, that's a possibility. Schmidt and other defenders of the law say that the language is being misread, and I might agree with this. These are the no-go areas for local law enforcement under the current language of SAPA, which, as you can tell, is predicated on preventing cooperation with any federal agency who, and you get the following federal acts, laws, and executive orders, administrative orders, rules, and regulations shall be considered infringement to the people's right to keep and bear arms as guaranteed by Article 2 of the Constitution of the United States, Article 1, Section 23 of the Constitution of Missouri, within the borders of the state, including but not limited to any tax, levy, fee, or stamp imposed, any registration or tracking of firearms, any registration or tracking of the ownership of firearms, any act forbidding the possession, ownership, use, or transfer of a firearm, any act ordering the confiscation of firearms, firearm accessories, or ammunition from law-abiding citizens. Now, what this is doing is basically saying we're going to go with the Constitution on this one, boys, because you guys are going to come and go, and your time is just about over. You have torched yourselves. There's nothing in the statute preventing local police from working with the ATF, the DEA, or any other federal agency from going after drug offenders or even violent criminals. They first have to violate the Constitution first in order for this to kick in. And most of these restrictions specifically mention law-abiding citizens, which suggests to me that the intent of the legislation was to stop local law enforcement from cooperating from federal officials on any new nonviolent possessory offenses that the Biden administration or future administrations might put in place. Because, I mean, they're constantly looking for a way to put people on a different list of prohibited persons. Now, I'm sure that there's different opinions about the scope of the law, but given the fact that there's already multiple state-based lawsuits, in addition to the suit filed by St. Louis area officials, another group of police departments has sued the state asking for clarity about when and how they can work with federal agencies. And there's no real reason for Merrick Garland and the DOJ to file a suit of their own in federal court right now, other than being able to tell the anti-gun activists that they're doing something on their issue. The head of the DOJ's civil division told the New York Times that this is really about standing on principle, but based on the timing here, it looks like it's all politics. It's all politics. That's all it is. That's all it is. All politically motivated. This is all part of the thing. They're trying to pull together some pieces here and there to motivate their base. And their base is, the problem with their base is not about gun control. The gun control is most of America has no taste for it right now. Their base is tired of high gas prices and high food prices and everything going up. And they're tired of going into a grocery store and finding empty shelves. They're tired of the COVID restrictions. They're tired of all of this, and they're looking for some sort of return, I think, to normalcy. I'm not sure what it is. And they don't think the Democrats can deliver this. And unfortunately for the Democrats, that is in fact true, because the Democrats are only interested in being in control of you. Only. And this is all about optics. You know what they're trying to do. This is all about optics. The Democrats are now perceived to be soft on crime. They are. And they are. They're both perceived to be, and in fact, they are soft on crime. They prefer criminals to you, because criminals scare you and make you run to them. And that's good. They want you to seriously come to them and let them take control. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a 4-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once per year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days, you still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast from Sunny Bay.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Guns.com radio studio. This is Lock and Load. President Joe Biden recently traveled to New York City for a media event to try and show America he's going to do something about rampant crime. Which, by the way, crime is typically done by criminals, by the non-law abiding. But instead of this, he blamed the Second Amendment and lawful gun owners, said nothing about holding criminals to account, and repeated the same tired lies about the firearm industry he keeps at the ready, lies fact-checked as being false each time he previously recited them. That's because he hates the PLCAA, and he wants to see it repealed. Now, none of this makes any difference to the president. He's not even trying anymore. To President Biden and national gun control groups, the problem is always the gun and the law-abiding members of the industry. It's never the criminal. And so, he blames the resistance. The resistance. He was joined by U.S. Attorney Merrick Garland, Attorney General, Democratic New York Governor Kathy Hochul, and Democratic New York City Mayor Eric Adams for a gun violence strategies partnership meeting to talk about how to solve the crime surge, particularly those involving firearms. Which, by the way, the ones involving firearms are about 18% of all crime. So instead of real solutions, they devolved into blaming law-abiding gun owners and again pushing a gun control agenda. Now, President Joe said enough is enough. Because we know we can do things about this, but for the resistance we're getting from some sectors of the government and the Congress and the state legislatures and the organizational structures out there. The resistance here that the president is speaking about is the American people. It's the American people. That's the resistance. Over the past 2 years, people of all stripes, creeds, colors, they have all become fed up with police defunding policies and soft on crime prosecutors, like Manhattan's Democratic District Attorney Alvin Bragg. So they've invested in their own safety. So the resistance of the 21 million lawful gun buyers in 2020, including 8.4 million first-time buyers, and the 18.5 million gun buyers in 2021, with more than 5.4 million first-timers buying guns there, that's the resistance. And the resistance has backstopped Congress from passing federal gun control that doesn't address crime. It's also stopped President Biden's nominations of paid gun control lobbyist David Chipman, or Darren, to lead the Bureau of the, you know, the alcohol and the tobacco, the firearms and the explosives. And, you know, banking activist Saul Omarova, excuse me, is comptroller of the currency because not even all U.S. Senate Democrats could support them. And they've turned those agencies into bludgeons to hammer the firearm industry to achieve a special interest, which is their gun control agenda. So his favorite falsehoods, he's turned his aim from lawful gun owners towards the firearm industry and repeated a lie he's rehearsed several times before. Imagine, had we had a liability, and they're the only industry in America that is exempted from being able to be sued by the public. Only one. Why the gun manufacturers? It's got to end. They've got to be held responsible for the things they do that are irresponsible. And he repeated the claim for emphasis, and I find that outrageous. Well, if you buy a gun that blows up in your hands because you pull the trigger, guess what? You can sue that guy all day. What you can't sue him for is if somebody gets that gun and it operates correctly, but it's used in a crime. The gun is, for all purposes, okay? The gun is the same as a chainsaw. It's the same as a car. It's the same as a baseball bat. It will not do anything on its own. And the president knows this right now, and his speechwriters do, and they don't bother with the facts. CNN and PolitiFact and Washington Post have all checked him on this remark, including when he said it in the White House Rose Garden. And CNN cleanly rebuked it, which is amazing. They said, this is false. Gun manufacturers are not entirely exempt from being sued, nor are they the only industry with some liability protections. PolitiFact rated this false. Washington Post wasn't kinder, saying, Biden is wrong to claim the gun industry is totally immune. Now, you do have liability protections under the Protection of Lawful Commerce and Arms Act, which is a bipartisan legislation under former President George W. Bush. They cannot be held liable when unaffiliated third parties, in this case criminals, misuse a legal, lawfully sold product. That should be the way it is across the board for every inanimate object out there today. It's fundamental tort law and is similar to an individual attempting to hold Ford and Budweiser responsible for drunk driving deaths. That law was passed in direct response to lawsuits filed against the industry by control groups in municipalities like the city of New York and the state of New York. And these types of lawsuits continue to be filed now even by foreign governments represented by the same gun control group, the Brady Center. Then there's the fact that Biden continues to ignore facts on the Second Amendment and his history. He even erred when speaking about the Revolution-era days and why the right to keep and bear arms was so sacrosanct. He said, when the amendment was passed, it didn't say anybody could own a gun and any kind of gun and any kind of weapon. You couldn't buy a cannon, and when this amendment was passed. It did and does say, however, the right of the people shall not be infringed. Now, on this one, the Washington Post was brutal in their assignment of the four Pinocchios to this statement. He'd already been fact-checked on that claim, and it's been deemed false. I have no idea where he conjured up this notion about a ban on cannon ownership in the early days of the Republic, but he sort of needs to stop making that claim. In fact, the Constitution of early America, before the Bill of Rights and the Second Amendment was even ratified, granted and encouraged special waivers to American merchants and sailors, allowing private individuals to act as pirates on behalf of the United States against countries engaged in war with it. Americans given waivers and who owned warships obviously also obtained cannons to use in battle. And if you want to go down to your local cannon lot, still perfectly legal to buy one today. It is the president's fundamental misunderstanding and blatant lying about the Second Amendment that informs his gun control agenda and misguided approach to solving the crime problem, the so-called adult in the room. Millions of law-abiding Americans took ownership of their Second Amendment rights to protect themselves, understanding that the president is not going to do this. He can't. He doesn't know how. And instead of mangling the meaning of the right and pushing for more gun control on law-abiding Americans, he should just keep it simple. Take on the criminals and punish them for breaking the law. Now, is that happening? Of course not. Of course not, because this is not about your public safety. That's the other big lie that's out there today. This is not about your public safety. They don't want you. They don't. As a matter of fact, the more of you that get killed, that get hurt, that get raped, that get murdered, the better they like it. Believe it or not. They do not think this is even something that will ever come to touch them. When the Alexandria shooting happened, I wondered what the effect on the psyche of Congress would be when they discovered that they were just as vulnerable at any given time as anybody else in the United States. Since it happened to Republicans and it was done by a Bernie bro, nobody's really taken too much into that on the Democratic side. But, I mean, just the other day you had Quintez Brown, who went into in Kentucky. He went into a mayoral candidate's office, a Democrat, and tried to kill everybody in there. He did that on a Monday, and he was out on bail on Wednesday. And yet, today, you know, while we're sitting out here talking about irony, the people from January 6th are still sitting in jail. Some of them are still sitting in jail. But you can try to kill a whole room full of people and be out on bail. Of course, then you might lose your charitable contributions you might be getting from Amazon, like BLM did. BLM bailed him out. Unapologetically bailed him out. There you have it. That's all you need to know. That's all you need to know. As you go forward, as you look at certain things, that's all you need to know. Oh, goodness gracious. Tell you what, let's do this again for another hour, shall we? I've got one coming up now. I think I'll just stick around and do that, shall we? This is Lock and Load.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis quality built American made products for 45 plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment,
we perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
At MGS, we have what it takes to reinvent yourself. With a curriculum designed to balance work, family, and a gun repair education, MGS provides the gateway into one of the fastest growing segments of the gun industry. Modern Gun School's mission is to provide high quality distance education using time tested materials and hands on projects designed to develop a proficiency in both the technique and the business of gunsmithing. Go to mgs.edu. MGS Trade School. Your future is waiting.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.